For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire. I get no doubt.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mark McCloskey, Mark McCloskey on fire. Well, you know, one of the major premises on this program is that virtually everything you hear on television or on the radio or on the web or any place you access what is allegedly information, everything you hear is a lie. The government lies to you about everything. The press lies to you about everything. Your grade school teacher lies to you about everything. And the one thing that is an absolute truth is that the reason they're lying to you about everything is the people that run this world, the deep state, the dark hand that moves behind the scenes. They hate you, they want you to die, and they want to depopulate the planet. I think it was Bill Gates said that we needed to eliminate 90% of the population of the planet, and the best way to do it is from a virus. Well, do you remember this thing called COVID? Do you remember this thing called the jab, which was developed to cure us of COVID? I remember that senile old poop in the White House saying that this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and that if we all got vaccinated, we wouldn't get the disease, we couldn't transmit the disease, it was all perfectly safe. And then all of a sudden they say, except you need the booster, and then the second booster, and then the third booster, and oh, by the way, the jab won't stop you from getting the disease and won't stop you from transmitting the disease, but get the gosh darn booster anyway, because that's the only way we can infect everybody with an experimental, genetically engineered, essentially a hybrid animal we're putting inside of you to kill you. And unfortunately for us, the one truth that's come out of all of this is that the COVID vaccine is a very, very toxic and very, very dangerous element. And we have as a guest with us today a retired United States Air Force Major, Tom Haviland, who's done some interesting research into, amongst other things, these things we're calling white clots, the formation of big fibrous clots in your body, which are being found now on autopsy all over the world. And I had heard anecdotally about this during the Senate campaign. But then we started getting some real research, and Mr. Haviland is going to explain to us what he's done and a little bit of his backstory and what he found out in his most recent research. So welcome to the program, Tom Haviland.
Mark, thanks for having me on the show. And boy, I felt the same way you did, that we were lied to. I was a retired Air Force major, spent 20 years in the United States Air Force, then spent 16 years after that as a defense contractor working with the Air Force. I have a bachelor's degree from the Ohio State University in mathematics, a bachelor's in electrical engineering from Louisiana Tech University, a master's in computer resources and information management from Webster University in St. Louis. But my 36-year career with and in the Air Force came to an abrupt halt in October of 2021 when the Joe Biden mandates came out to take the vaccine. It was mandated on not just the U.S. military, but also the government civilians and the defense contractors, of which I was one at the time working at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. And I knew that the jabs were not doing very well. I had looked information. Our own CDC wasn't putting out very good information, but the U.K. was. Their official government document called SARS-CoV-2 Variants of Concern technical briefings. They were putting out technical briefings every couple of weeks. And in technical briefing 23, which is dated September 17th of 2021, there's a table 5 in that document on pages 19 and 20 that showed hundreds of thousands of breakthrough cases of COVID amongst the fully vaccinated in early fall of 2021. So this is the same time that Joe Biden was mandating these shots on everybody, and knowing that the whole lie about, you know, if you get the shot, you cannot catch COVID or transmit it to others was a complete lie. So while they were telling this was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, the vaccinated were catching and transmitting COVID just as easily as the unvaccinated. Also, I knew, Mark, it was unethical, right? And unethical for them to mandate that you put an experimental drug into your body, that you take this new technology, this mRNA lipid nanoparticle technology. So for those two reasons, I just said, I'm not going to take this shot. And a three-star Air Force general, in fact, had sent out an email to the entire base telling us our dates that we had to get the shot by or else get kicked out. And he tried to guilt those of us who were not getting the shot into getting it. And I sent him back an email. And I said, shame on you. Instead of fighting for our right to decide for ourselves whether or not to get injected with an experimental drug, you chose to try to guilt us into getting the jab. Shame on you. And Mark, I didn't just send that email to him. I CC'd all 30,000 people that work at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. It's the largest single-site employer in the state of Ohio. And I knew what was going to happen. A half hour later, I got a call from my defense contractor boss, and I was fired from a $165,000 a year job for embarrassing the three-star Air Force general in front of the entire base.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, you know what? I saw it on this morning on Fox TV. They're one of their commentators quoting the old phrase, my body, my choice. That didn't seem to take a hold in the Biden administration, did it?
Yeah, it's funny how that works for abortion, but then it goes completely away when it's about you taking an experimental vaccine against your will.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about mRNA vaccines and what they actually are.
Well, you know, we don't know exactly because they tried to hide it from us for 75 years, right? But we know the purpose of the vaccines, and we can talk about this later, is they were supposed to stay in your deltoid muscle, right, in your upper arm, and produce just enough of the spike protein to elicit an immune response for just a few days to a week, and then its job would be done. But now we know that's not what happened at all, Mark. That shot goes all over your body, turning your entire body into a spike protein factory, and it's been found doing that for months at a time, not just a few days to a week. So the scientists that I talked to believe that it's led to the formation of these white fibrous clots that I'll show your audience. They're in the veins and arteries of a surprisingly high percentage of corpses that the embalmers in my survey are talking about. These clots, embalmers have never seen these before. They've always seen in the past two different types of clots, Mark. Grape jelly clots, which look like dark grape jelly and they dissolve easily in your hands. Mm-hmm. Or what's called chicken fat clots. They're small, yellowish in color, and they tear very easily. Very different than these white fibrous clots that are long, large, tough. You know, they're rubbery. They're hard to break, even with forceps. So the embalmers, like I said, many of them have 20 or 30 years of experience, and they've never seen these types of clots before until the last 3 years after the jabs came out.
And, you know, I've seen some of these things, and you sent me a photograph yesterday of laid out next to a ruler, I mean, 5-6 inches long and bifurcated and trifurcated. It looked like calamari coming out of your veins.
Right. And they've actually found some as long as a couple feet long coming out of people's legs. And that's another thing. There's been controversy about whether the clots are forming before death or just after death. The embalmers that I talked to, Mark, are convinced it's happening before death because they're picking up bodies that are only an hour or two old, and they're finding them riddled with those clots. And they say there's no way that they could have formed in just a couple of hours since the person passed away.
Yeah, and you know, once again, as I mentioned on the intro, anecdotally, we were talking to medical examiners and embalmers all over the state of Missouri when I was running for the Senate. And people were saying that ever since COVID, and particularly after the vaccines were mandated, where they'd never seen it before, they were getting all kinds of people that they were dissecting that had these huge clots in them. Never seen it before, never seen anything like it. That's, you know, just for the average dumb hick wandering around in Missouri, that's pretty good evidence to me. But you've got some good objective evidence now, haven't you?
Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of coroners and medical examiners won't see the clots because unless there's foul play suspected, they won't go into the veins and arteries and you know, to try to find the clots. You know, a lot of times they're looking for a toxicology report to see if, you know, the person took OD'd on a drug or something like that. So it tends to be only the embalmers that are finding these white fibrous clots and this other phenomenon called microclotting that we'll talk about, unless a very thorough autopsy is being done, and not many are being done. And that's surprising too, because if you were had a 20 or 30 year old son or daughter who passed away, died suddenly, from a stroke or heart attack, wouldn't you want a full autopsy done on that child to make sure that they didn't die with something like this in their system? Mm. But very few autopsies are being done these days. It's perplexing.
Yeah. Well, of course, autopsies are expensive. I mean, autopsy will cost $2,500 to $3,000 to do a real autopsy. And, you know, the amount of money that the government was throwing at COVID, you'd think they might have an interest in finding something out. Of course, the government's interest is the exact opposite. They don't want to find out. They don't want us to find out. They want to keep it a secret so they can keep selling it. And I keep seeing it sold even today, even on Fox TV, the ads for your free COVID vaccination. You know, come and be murdered by your government.
Yeah, you couldn't state a more true statement, Mark. Last January, when I had the results of my first survey done, by the way, the survey was sent out to, I sent it out to over 1,700 funeral homes directly around the entire world. And I also used a top-down approach. I sent it to 50 national, regional, and state funeral director associations, each with hundreds of members, you know, funeral directors and embalmers underneath them, mm-hmm. using this two-prong approach to try to get as many responses as I could. And we got 179 responses to my first survey, and there were three main conclusions out of that, Mark. One was that the embalmers, 119 out of the 179, which is almost exactly 66%, two-thirds, said they indeed were seeing these white fibrous clots. The main consensus of those embalmers is that those clots started in the year 2021 after the jabs rolled out. There were a few embalmers that did see them in 2020, which is interesting because that was a year that we had COVID but no vaccines yet. Mm-hmm. That makes some sense because, you know, as we know, there is a spike protein on the surface of the virus itself. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, if that virus gets into the bloodstream, it can trigger this clotting effect, basically producing these misshaped or misfolded proteins called amyloid proteins, A-M-Y-L-O-I-D, that then become difficult for our bodies to break down. We all have a natural enzyme called plasmin that's used to break down normal clotting, but if it clots misshapenly folded, it becomes difficult for that enzyme to attach, and then the clots tend to persist. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned earlier, we think that effect got supercharged with the advent of the vaccines because much more of the spike protein got into the blood all over the body, and then supercharge this effect. That's what the scientists that I've talked to believe is happening.
Well, you know, the concept of this engineered virus in the first place, you know, why in the world, what in the world could there possibly be a reason why the United States government were spending our tax dollars to create deadly viruses in China to then be unleashed on the world and for the purpose of creating a need for a vaccine that would then seek to do what they wish, and that is to eliminate a large section of the population. You know, from the very beginning, from Tony Fauci to today, with just the concept of our government funding gain-of-function research in China to create vaccines, to create viruses to kill us, to create the need for vaccines that will kill more of us. It is just such an amazing thing. And to have them still pushing it now, in light of all the facts that we now know of the dangers, not only everything is supposed to be a cost-benefit analysis, right? Risk-benefit analysis. And we now know there's tremendous risk and no benefit. How are they still pushing this?
It is amazing. You know, we knew very early into the pandemic, of course, that the virus was not that lethal. It's wound up to have a 0.2% death rate. You know, at first they were saying, oh, it could kill 3% of the population. So people were scared, and rightfully so. 3% is a pretty big number. But it wound up that the infection fatality rate is only about 0.2%. So we were sold a bill of goods in that respect. And people were scared into taking the shots.
Right. And even then, according to the CDC's definition of what was a COVID-related death, that if you died without a COVID diagnosis, but you had symptoms compatible with COVID within 6 weeks of the time of your death, even if you're killed in a motorcycle wreck, you were considered to be a COVID-related death. And so they lied about the numbers, they lied about the definition, they lied about every aspect of it. But once again, we're from the government, we're here to help you.
Yeah. They also, as we know, they probably treated people very poorly in the hospital by giving them remdesivir and then putting them on ventilators instead of allowing them to have early treatment like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which may have prevented them from even having to go to the hospital in the first place.
And, you know, just like
total botch.
Yeah. And just like you got canned by the Air Force for refusing to take the vaccine, doctors and nurses all over the country are getting canned for prescribing hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Our biggest hospital corporation here in Missouri put out a policy saying that nobody on staff was allowed to use hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin in treatment of COVID patients. And by the way, if you come into a hospital with shortness of breath under any other circumstances, they put you on supplemental oxygen. If you come in with a prognosis or diagnosis of COVID, they held off supplemental oxygen until you had to be intubated, and then you had a virtually 100% mortality rate.
It was crazy. When the protocols were definitely wrong, and they're still to this day, the protocols are that way. Yeah. It is bizarre.
It is absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And then they're still calling it quack medicine or a right-wing conspiracy that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are effective. We have a friend of ours here who was prescribing vitamin D and zinc, and the government wanted to fine him, and I think they did fine him $8 million for a violation of the COVID-19 Consumer Protection Act, now made him apologize and agree to never say that you could prevent COVID or have pre-hospitalization treatment for it or some kind of crap like that for the rest of his life. So
I think the FDA did actually eventually reverse their decision, and now they say it's okay to treat people with COVID with ivermectin. So they had to bow eventually because the data was just overwhelming that the drug was working.
Yeah. So at some point, even the most ridiculous lies have to be modified. Well, I'm going to have to take a hard break here. Can you hang around for another segment?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Haviland, and we'll be right back.
Join Mark McCloskey in the battle against globalism. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. McCloskey on Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're here with Tom Haviland, retired Major U.S. Air Force, who has done some independent research into the adverse effects of the COVID-19 vaccination. Well, welcome back again, Tom. Tell us a little bit about the research you've done and what you found out.
Yeah, as I said in that first survey, the main conclusions were three conclusions. The embalmers, about 7 out of every 10, were seeing the white fibrous clots in their corpses. They agreed that they started in the year 2021. Most of them, that's when they first started seeing them for the first time. And one of the really shocking things, Mark, was that the embalmers were seeing these white fibrous clots that I showed the audience in up to 50% of their corpses or more in some cases. Mm. It was an average of about 30% of the corpses, but up to 50% or more in some cases. So I wanted to know what the embalmers were seeing now at the end of 2023. So if you want to go into the slide presentation, we can show the audience what I found out in my last survey that just completed 2 weeks ago.
Well, you know, I don't think I've got the capacity here. I didn't load it ahead of time. If you just and actually the ones that you emailed me yesterday came in a little garbled. The numbers didn't line up with the but I mean we were on the Trump campaign in October of 2020, and we were hearing from the inside that they had developed the vaccine and that it was going to be the announcement that the vaccine was going to be available was going to be made the week before the election. And we were being told that the announcement that a vaccine had been developed was going to be released in time for it to come out before Election Day. And then what did the pharmaceutical companies do in order to guarantee that Donald Trump wouldn't win the election? They delayed the announcement until after Election Day. And then, what, of course, probably saved people's lives because fewer people got injected. You never know.
Oh my goodness.
So, yeah, just talk us through your slides. I apologize for my lack of preparation here.
No problem. In this latest survey, we wanted to know what the embalmers were seeing in 2023. So we asked them again, have you seen the white fibrous clots this year in 2023? And 73% of the embalmers, we actually got more responses this year. We got 269 responses to this year's survey. 197 of those embalmers, 73%, said they were seeing the white fibrous clots in 2023, which is kind of alarming, right? Because we're two years away from most people having their last jabs. Most people got their first couple jabs in 2021. 80% of Americans took the jab that year. Only 20% of Americans took the bivalent Omicron booster in the fall of 2022, and only 15% of Americans took the adults over the age of 18 took the last booster, the XBB 1.5 mm-hmm. booster that came out last fall of 2023. So it's shocking that there's still a lot of white fibrous clots showing up in corpses 2 years out from when most people got their jabs.
But the percentages are almost exactly with the percentage of people that got injected. True?
No. They saw them. The embalmer saw them about 20% of their corpses.
Oh, 20%.
That's down to 30%. Yeah, okay. 20% of the corpses, which is, I mean, that's, remember, they used to see them in 0% of the corpses, and now they're seeing them in 20. They saw them in 30% last year, so it is down slightly from last year, but it's still an alarming number. The embalmers also responded to a question about microclotting. That's some of the embalmers were telling me, hey, I'm seeing what looks like, they describe it as coffee grounds or dirty blood in the drainage coming off the corpses they're trying to put in the formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the question, how many of you have seen this in 2023? 79% of the embalmers responding, 212 out of the 269 embalmers said they were seeing this phenomenon in about 25% of their corpses, one-fourth of their corpses. Now, this is something they had seen prior to COVID in the vaccines, but it was very rare.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the embalmers mentioned to me, he would see it once in a while in corpses that had heavy chemotherapy drugs. But it definitely was in less than 5% of the corpses prior to COVID and the vaccines. Now it's 25%. So that's, you know, at least quintupled that the percentage of corpses containing this. And this microclotting can be just as dangerous as these white fibrous clots. You know, these can block your arteries and veins and give you heart attacks and strokes. The microclotting occurs at the capillary level, and it blocks the exchange of oxygen, you know, at the lungs, for example, to pick up the oxygen. And then it blocks it being taken to the rest of the major organs of the body, including the brain, the eyes, you know, all those small capillaries that run throughout our body that feed our organs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it, like I said, they're seeing that in about 25% of their corpses.
As an aside, you know, one of the things that people were complaining about with COVID itself was what they called brain fog. And as you mentioned this with the coffee ground type clots, I can see that being a problem for two things. One is just oxygenation of the blood, but the other is actual, you know, blockages in the brain. I mean, I wonder if anybody's done any research into that.
That's funny you mentioned that, because the same kind of amyloid material, these misshaped or misfolded proteins that tends to be prominent in Alzheimer's patients, that's the same kind of material that's used to form these clots, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the two kind of go together. You can see why people might be getting brain fog, right, from microclotting and from the amyloid buildup as well from the white fibrous clots.
Yeah.
We also asked the embalmers, we asked them last year what was happening in terms of the traditional grape jelly clots that embalmers have been seeing forever, but those have increased as well. Since the pandemic started, they're in about 40% of the corpses now, as opposed to 30% of the corpses pre-COVID and pre-vaccines. And they've also increased, the embalmers say they're more like grape jam now than grape jelly. So they've increased in viscosity as well.
Mm.
One of the other things the embalmers mentioned to me this year that we put a question on the survey about is infant deaths. And this is a very sad area, right? I mean, some of the embalmers said, hey, I've seen an increase in infant deaths over the last few years. And we asked the embalmers, the good news is, I guess, only 20% of the embalmers saw an increase in infant deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And those that did saw an increase of about 25%. So I think there's some explanation as to why not all the embalmers saw that. A lot of times the body is not presentable. It's, you know, a fetal demise or a stillbirth or a miscarriage. Other embalmers have told me that there's been an increase in the number of infants that are being cremated now. So if there is any evidence of clotting in the infant, that's destroyed, right, by the cremation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, some embalmers have told me the hospitals have kind of changed their policy, some of them have, and they seem to be swooping in a little bit more often now after a miscarriage or, you know, happens at the hospital, and say, hey, we'll take care of the remains for you. To the family. And you can imagine a grieving husband and wife are in shock. You know, this happy occasion has turned into a disaster. And they say, yeah, we just want the whole problem to go away. So if the hospital's taking care of the body, then, of course, the embalmers won't see any indication of clotting either, because they'll never see the corpse.
Yeah.
The last question we asked the embalmers was age stratification. last year, we didn't get a chance to ask that question. So we asked them, are you seeing clotting, increased clotting of either grape jelly clots, the white fibrous clots, or the microclots in any particular age group or groups? We asked them to identify all the groups. And not surprisingly, the largest groups were in the older people, like, you know, 66 to 80-year-olds. But there was a surprisingly long bar, Mark, in the 36 to 50-year-old group. And this is kind of alarming because you usually don't associate 36 to 50-year-olds with having strokes and heart attacks. You know, that doesn't usually happen until you're in the late 50s, early 60s. And this seems to dovetail very closely with Edward Dowd's work with the insurance data from insurance industries. He's seeing a lot of death and disability in the last 3 years, not surprisingly, yeah, in that age group, which, it's alarming.
Yeah. So have you extrapolated this out to the population at large based on the percentages you're finding? If 80% of adult Americans have had the vaccine, based on your percentages, how many of us are potentially developing these white fibrous clots as we sit here today?
I don't know, Mark, because the embalmers are finding the white fibrous clots in an average of 20% of their corpses, it doesn't necessarily mean that 20% of people walking around alive today have the clots in them. Mm-hmm. But I would suspect maybe something along the order of 5%, maybe, because as you know, the last 3 years in highly vaccinated countries, we've had an excess mortality rate of about 10% or more.
Yeah.
And to put that in perspective for your audience, about 3 million Americans died every year before COVID came along. And so a 10% increase in excess mortality means 10% of 3 million is 300,000. That means 300,000 extra Americans are dying every year from some unknown cause. I think I know what that cause is, the vaccines. So we're talking about huge numbers here.
Yeah. Well, put in perspective, for those of us my age and older, there are about 450,000 Americans were killed in World War II. That means every year and a half, as many people are dying as a result of the vaccines as died in all of World War II.
Yeah, and you realize that people on their individual basis may not notice this personally, because a 10% increase in excess mortality means instead of you seeing maybe 10 people you know dying this year, now you see 11 people dying, right? That's a 10% increase. So are you really going to notice, 11 people dying each year versus 10 people? Probably not. But when you aggregate that up, you get, 300,000 extra Americans dying a year. And on a global scale, over the last 3 years, the estimates are that 17 million people have died from the vaccine over the last 3 years when you aggregate it up to the world level. And probably four or five times as many have been permanently injured by the jabs, severely injured. Yeah. So we're talking about 100 million people.
Yeah. Spanish flu killed 20 million people back at the turn of the last century. And it was considered to be a huge pandemic. We killed five times that many with a vaccine for a man-made virus. Well, of course, what we're all thinking here, thank God nobody in this studio has gotten vaccinated. But for the millions of Americans out there and the folks listening to this show that did get vaccinated, what the hell can we do now?
Well, they can go to Dr. Peter McCullough's website. He's got a protocol that helps detox the spike protein. We think that the spike protein is the culprit, whether it's from the virus or from the vaccine. That's what seems to be doing damage to the vascular system and also giving people turbo cancers, right? Palsies, tinnitus, miscarriages, myocarditis, all kinds of damage. This is really wreaking havoc on the human body. But Dr. Peter McCullough has got a detox protocol that people can take to try to eliminate the spike protein out of their system.
Yeah, and he was one of the first real heroes of fighting against the government propaganda on COVID, particularly in his goals to engage in pre-hospitalization treatment of COVID, where I think he was basically 100% effective in keeping people out of the hospital. But the government wanted people to go into the hospital, wanted people to go on respirators and come out dead. Dr. McCullough was a real original hero of trying to inform the public.
Right on. Yeah, he's a hero of mine. And, these people are brave. I'm lucky. I'm retired now, so I'm receiving a retired Air Force major's pay and Social Security. So I'm doing this, out of the goodness of my heart because I love my fellow man. But those people, they risk their careers. They've had their licenses gone after. it's been just a total nightmare for them.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody having their licenses gone after for having the wrong political opinions.
It's so close to home, doesn't it?
No, but I mean, it's absolutely true. I remember Dr. McCullough being taken off the staff. He was down in Medical City in Houston and having his license challenged. There's a guy named Richard Bartlett, Dr. Bartlett, out in Midland, Odessa, who was also a champion of pre-hospitalization treatment for COVID. They were trying to take his hospital privileges away and take his license. It is just an amazing world we're living in, where our elected officials who work for the deep state are actively trying to kill their own citizens, and the mainstream media is going along with it, the hospital corporations are going along with it, the pharmaceutical companies are making billions and billions and trillions of dollars off of it, and yet the vast majority of people are still absolutely in the dark. That's why it's important to get folks to hear from folks like you.
Right. And my advice to people is we cannot depend on our Congress. We cannot depend on our regulatory agencies, like you say, like the FDA, CDC. By the way, I set the results of my first survey that was done last year at this time to the FDA. And I actually asked to speak at their vaccine and related biological products advisory committee meeting on the 26th of January of last year. And they didn't let me speak at that meeting, but I did submit all my information in a written format. And I did get a tracking number, but throughout the entire year last year, they did nothing with it, Mark. And I don't expect them to do anything with the results this year either. So knowing that, we have to rely on ourselves as the last line of defense. We, the citizen, just have to say no to taking these vaccines and any vaccine that has the mRNA lipid nanoparticle technology associated with it.
Yeah, and of course, they promised all of us, that, and you touched on this earlier, that it would only be targeted at the COVID virus, but in the real world, it goes all over your body. It's not specific. It infiltrates all your tissue and actually makes it changes to your basic DNA, and all of which we're still being lied to about, still advertising the efficacy of getting vaccinations, which just shocks me as the most amazing thing I can imagine.
It is, yeah. So I really appreciate you getting me on the show to get this out to your large audience, and hopefully they'll take it to heart and they'll think twice before they get their next injection.
Just say no. Just don't get vaccinated. And if the government tells you it's a good thing, believe the exact opposite. All right. Well, Tom Haviland, great having you on, and we'll bring you back. If you hear anything new, give me a holler. We'll put it out there as best we can, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate being on the show.
Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Tom Haviland. I'll be back in just a second with my review of the week in politics, and which actually is not going to be a week because I'm going to be down in Texas this weekend battling the border. And so I won't even know what this week in politics is by the time you hear this recorded. We'll be back in just a second.
Every time you call my name. Mark McCloskey. Join Mark McCloskey in the battle against globalism. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey on Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, I've been a Republican my entire life. My dad was a big Republican and a very staunch anti-communist and a member of the John Birch Society. My mother was a president of what at the time was a nation's largest Republican women's club, the West County Republican Women's Club here in St. Louis. We're born, bred, and live as Republicans, but I've never been more embarrassed of the Republican Party than I am this week. When we talk about the swamp, when we talk about the uniparty, when we talk about there being a force driving towards a single world socialist government and the illusion of a two-party system in this country, it has never become more apparent than this week. And I'm referring to Carrie Lake's recording with Jeff DeWitt. Carrie Lake, as you know, is running for Senate in Arizona, and Jeff DeWitt was a chairman of the Arizona Republican Party until just recently. But we were at CPAC a year ago, and Carrie Lake addressed CPAC twice. And she comes back the second time and is on the main stage just before President Trump comes up to talk. And she said something in her second presentation which she did not say in her first, and that was that somebody showed up unannounced and tried to bribe her into not running for office, offering her money and threats in order to keep her from running for the U.S. Senate. And it was kind of this kind of surprising and shocking announcement, and that's about all she said. Well, here it is almost a year later, and she releases the audio tape. And we're going to play a little bit of it in just a moment. But the bottom line is that Jeff DeWitt, a Trump campaigner and the head of the Arizona Republican Party and endorsed for that position by Carrie Lake, calls up Carrie Lake and tries to bribe her into not running for office, bribe her into taking a two-year hiatus from politics to make sure that she's not out there, well, helping Trump, not out there revving up the MAGA masses. And they are just absolutely, Jeff DeWitt is just absolutely direct. And listen to what he says about, is there some number, is there some price?
Just to say, is there a number at which...
I can be bought.
Not be bought.
What it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple of years.
No.
And then go right back to what you're doing.
Mm-mm. No. 10 million, 20 million, 30, no, no, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country.
So here we have the head of the Republican Party of Arizona who's talking about how there are very powerful people out there and they will do anything to keep you from running. He earlier in the tape says that they want to see if there's some job she can take, some board chairmanship. Hey, by the way, does this remind you of Nikki Haley being on the board of Boeing by any chance? All these people are so corrupt. And Jeff DeWitt's constantly talking about these are very powerful people back east. Well, you know, it then gets to the point where he says something which no other media outlet, to my knowledge, has even commented on. I posted this on my X feed as soon as I heard about it. But you can hear Jeff DeWitt say what he thinks would happen when Carrie Lake suggests that he go public with this.
You need a strong party to help.
I think you should go public with this and then
no,
say, hey,
no.
These people don't want to, they don't want,
they're. And then I turn my key in my car and I just.
I know.
I like my car.
So here's Jeff DeWitt. When Carrie Lake says, I think you ought to make this public, you ought to go public with this. He says, yeah, right. Like I'll turn the key to my car and boom, right? Here he is. The head of the Republican Party, the state of Arizona, who is afraid that the powers that be in the Republican Party will kill him if he goes public about the fact that he's been asked by these very powerful people back east to coerce and bribe Carrie Lake into not running for Senate. What in the hell kind of a world is this? The hell kind of a party is this? You know, Glenn Beck said this the other day, and I'm going to repeat it here right now, that if this is the kind of party we have, if this is the way the Republican Party is run, if this is the way the deep state controls who's allowed to get elected, if this is our definition of what the media likes to call democracy in this constitutional republic of ours, then we don't have anything like a constitutional republic. We have a situation where the candidates are handpicked by the deep state. You're only allowed to vote for who they want you to vote for. You're only allowed to get a choice between their chosen candidates. And anybody who's a true outsider, anybody who's a true, honest politician, anybody who will say what Carrie Lake said, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, a billion, you can't buy me because this is a country at stake. This isn't a matter of money. If there's somebody honest like that out there, by God, they're not going to get elected because they're not going to be allowed to run. How many people have stood up to that kind of pressure? How many people have stood up against that kind of corruption? How many people have just said, okay, I'll take that job at Boeing. Okay, I'll take that job as a lobbyist. Okay, I'll take those millions of dollars and I'll keep my mouth shut and I'll do what I'm told. And how many of the people currently sitting in the Senate how many people currently sitting in the House of Representatives have taken that bribe or that promise of future wealth to do what they're told. And you know, I used to always say when I was running for office, when the government announces wholly unconstitutional, you know what, like the Ministry of Truth, the disinformation board, how come there weren't 50 Republican senators standing up on the steps of the Capitol building screaming, we can't have state-sponsored censorship in a free democracy. We can't have state-sponsored censorship in this democratic republic. We can't have state-sponsored censorship with a First Amendment. Well, the answer is that they're bribed. The answer is they're all on the gravy train. The answer is they know they'll never get reelected if they tell the truth. Because to get reelected, you need millions and millions and millions of dollars. You need the backing of the billionaires, and you need the backing of the state-run media. And so you have to do as you're told, and you stay in office for as long as you can. And then whenever you get tired of doing that, you go into a nice corporate board or a nice lobbying position and rake out in even more money selling access to your former cohorts to the billionaire class that really run the world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll echo Glenn Beck. We should not donate a single additional penny to any Republican candidate until the Republican Party fesses up and says who this was, who these very powerful people in the East are that tried to bribe Kerry Lake and threaten Jeff DeWitt enough that he was afraid that he'd get blown up in his car. Until they reveal who those people are, publicly expose them and expel them from the party, then we shouldn't donate another gosh darn cent to the Republican Party. Obviously, we shouldn't donate a gosh darn penny to any other party. But if this is corruption of this level at the highest level of the Republican Party, it cannot be tolerated, and it needs to be wiped out. And when they tell you, well, we can't find out who that was, you know, that's just total BS. Take the leaking of the Dobbs opinion from the Supreme Court, right? There was only, three clerks per justice. There's nine justices of the Supreme Court. You don't have that many people that could possibly have access to a Supreme Court opinion before it's published. And for the Supreme Court of the United States to say, we can't tell who leaked that opinion, pure, absolute nonsense. Every aspect of the government is lying to you all the time. And if it comes out of the mouth of the mainstream media, or if it comes out of the mouth of a politician, whatever they say, believe the exact opposite. But how are we supposed to have a country when everything you're told is a lie? How are we supposed to have a country when the people that you and I trust, the people in charge of the Republican Party, for example, are pure stinking crooks, that they're out there to manipulate the party, out there to manipulate the candidates, out there to manipulate policy, and do it with the lure of money and the threat of death? I mean, you can't get more serious than that. And that's what we're facing right now. And you've got President Trump being harassed on every side. You got him getting hit with an $83 million verdict for calling somebody that he did not rape somebody that did not get raped by him. And the judge says, well, even if you were acquitted of rape, we all know what rape is. So $83 million. That's almost as absurd as $140 million that Rudy Giuliani was hit for. What are these things designed to do? They're designed to crush your spirit. They're designed to crush your voice. They're designed to chill people from being out there and telling the truth. Because now it's an actionable offense to defend yourself in court, to say what she accuses me of, I did not do. And now that's considered defamation, to defend yourself, to say the truth, to tell the people that what you didn't do when you're accused of doing it. And now you can be hit with $83 million in damages for telling the truth. If that doesn't chill everybody, then the government's going to try something worse next. But I mean, that's where we're at right now. And then you look at the other side of it, right? That's just the how are you going to intimidate the public? How are you going to make us all shut up? January 6th was all about making us all shut up. I'm going to be down in Texas when, by the time you hear this broadcast, the truckers' convoy to the Texas border will already be history. And we'll be down there this Saturday, and we're going to see what we can do to rally the folks against, quite frankly, the federal government's attempt to destroy this country. Quite frankly, the federal government's intentional attempt to destroy our culture, destroy our nation, overburden our economy by actively bringing in as many illegal aliens as humanly possible. And what is the United States Senate doing? What are the negotiators in the United States Senate doing? Well, Senator Lankford from Oklahoma is apparently the only Republican senator who is negotiating in secret with the Democrats. And here's what they want to propose. They want to propose a new border bill which would allow in 5,000 illegal aliens a day. Our government, the Senate of the United States of America, says we want to pass a law that says 5,000 people a day can violate the law. And we'll only start enforcing the law at the 5,001st criminal that comes across the border. Why don't they pass a law that says 5,000 people a day can rob 7-Eleven stores? Or how about 5,000 people a day can knock over liquor stores? How about 5,000 people a day can rape your wife, okay? If the magic number is 5,000 criminals a day can do what they want, and after that we'll start enforcing the law, well, hell, I'm going to go out and knock over a liquor store this afternoon. 4,999 people can join me before the government thinks that's a bad thing. This is absolute, complete insanity. But this is what we've got going on. And then in the House of Representatives, we got a buddy of mine who I really respect, and I was on the Trump campaign with him, Jason Smith, congressman from the 8th District of Missouri. He's negotiating in secret in the House with the Democrats. What's all this about? You got 435 members of Congress, and you got one person, one Republican, who's negotiating on behalf of the Republican Party in secret from his own fellow Republicans, just like Senator Lankford is in the Senate, talking about billions of dollars, talking about sending more money to Ukraine, talking about sending more money to Israel, talking about letting in 5,000 illegal aliens a day, talking about $1.5 trillion budget. It is it's just an amazing thing. But one thing that is inarguably clear is that the people that run this country, and by that meaning the people from the outside world that run our country against our wishes and against our interests, they're genuinely evil. They hate freedom. They hate the United States. They hate individualism. What they want is a single world socialist government with a world full of slaves and a small number of masters. And my favorite thing today was Elon Musk announcing that he has successfully implanted Neuralink in a human being. You remember the Pong playing monkey from last year that could play Pong just by thinking about it, thanks to Elon Musk's Neuralink? Well, now they've implanted one in a human being. And you know what this means? This means, well, last week I talked about the government mandate to have all cars by 2026 have a kill switch so the car can decide when you're driving properly and when you're not. And if the car doesn't like the way you're driving, it will turn itself off. You're a judge, jury, and executioner based on what the car thinks your driving habits are and whether you're safe enough to be operating a car. Well, think about it when we all have Neuralink installed in our brains at birth and we all become the mind-controlled slaves of artificial intelligence. Thank you very much, Mr. Elon Musk. But, I mean, this is a world that the swamp, that the deep state, that Klaus Schwab, that the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization have just been slathering for, to turn the population of the world into mind-controlled slaves that do exactly what they're told when they're told to do it. And by God, if they want to have kill switches for cars, what do you think they're going to have in our brains with Neuralink? They'll have a literal kill switch that you start thinking the wrong thoughts, you start voting for the wrong person, and they just turn you off. That's our future, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't do something about it right stinking now.
Fighting against the New World Order. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.